New Covenant Priesthood. And this is going to be part two today, so grab your Bibles and turn on over to Malachi chapter 2. We're going to have a great time today seeing Jesus in the Scriptures, for He is the new and everlasting great high priest, and we, as the born-again bride of Christ in the new covenant, are the new covenant priesthood of believers. Maybe you've heard that before, maybe you haven't, but that's what we are. And we covered that in session one, so go back. It's on the YouTube channel. It's the only place I'm sharing them. I'm not putting them on Facebook, but you can if you want to publish them out to everyone. They're on our YouTube channel, Curtis Hutchinson 316. And so I hope you would go back and listen to part one as it reveals the declaration how our God has made us kings and priests because of what Jesus did for us and our faith in Him through the shedding of His blood on Calvary's cross. That's what ushered in the new priesthood, the new law. Everything became new because of Christ and His sacrificial work at Calvary. And I'm thankful to be a part of the everlasting newness of life and everything that God will ever do. Let's look into this now, because I believe unless you've seen these things before, it's going to be a real blessing to you today. Some of these things I'm sharing with you today some things that are brand new to me. And I'm just excited about what we're seeing here in Malachi. And we will also be in the book of Numbers in this series. And you're going to see some great, great revelations that took place in the Old Testament that point to the one, Jesus Christ, who is the new covenant, and our duties even in the new covenant. See, we've got to look back in the old priesthood to get a revelation of how those things now in the light of who Christ is through what He did at Calvary as the Lamb of God play a part in our lives now. We don't live in type and shadow anymore, but what was in type and shadow has now been revealed in the light that Jesus is and that He walks in. And if we walk with Him in the light as He is in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another, and His blood will be cleansing us from all sin, all unrighteousness. And this is, we're going to have duties as kings and priests for 1,000 years on this earth as it is right now. Now, it's going to be different, but it's not the new heaven and the new earth that we're going to reign on as kings and priests. The Bible says it's this one. And there's going to be greater things that happen on the new earth, but on this earth, Jesus is coming to reign the last 1,000 years, and we're going to reign with Him as kings and priests. And we covered that in the first session. There's a lot more that could have been said, but I'm just touching on the surface of things in this teaching. And I hope that you would follow along and allow the Lord to minister the word of life to you. You're going to see some amazing things concerning the priesthood in the old covenant. Now, let's read Malachi chapter 2, and let's start in verse 1 and read a few verses, because this is very, very interesting, and I believe it's going to really bless us. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it." Have we not watched this happen over the last 2,000 years? Did we not watch it even in the old covenant many times, as they would not take to heart the word of God? They would not give glory unto His name, but yet they would go and serve other gods all throughout the Old Testament. But He's talking to the priests here. Remember that. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." This was to the priest. So let's Continue to read in verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here's where it's going to get real interesting, because our God here is showing us that he is telling the entire nation of Israel that his covenant is with Levi. Get that. Now everybody who was a believer in Israel could partake of that old covenant the way God prescribed, only the way God prescribed they take part of it, which was to keep the law. They couldn't, so they would bring sacrifices. And they get sick of that, so they just be lawbreakers without any way that to be in fellowship with God. That's what the whole sacrificial system was set in place for. The main reason was to point to Jesus, who would be the ultimate, final, perfect, and complete sacrifice as the slain lamb. But also, it was so that they could be in fellowship with God, because a lawbreaker can't be in fellowship with God unless they're partaking of that which God has provided, his mercies and his grace through, so that he can be merciful and gracious to them if they had their faith in that. Thus, you have the sacrificial system. So let's read that again in verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 5. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, this is a very important scripture, of course, as it points to Jesus Christ in its fullness, because Jesus is the one that God sent, his only begotten Son. The covenant was with him. He is the new covenant, but this is all type and shadow of Christ. And here in the old, God says, my covenant is with Levi. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him because the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Watch. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. This Levi, the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And what was the message that God gave the Levites? Well, what did he give them to tend to? The temple, which was all about Jesus and what Jesus would do when he came one day, and the sacrificial duties, which pointed to what Jesus would do for us on the cross. So these Levites under the old covenant were the tribe that God chose to function in and around the temple duties and the sacrificial system. It was very precious to him. And I've gotten it wrong, I'll admit it, and I'll have to correct myself today in public here. I've gotten it wrong for a long time. I thought it was because the Lord began to call Levi his own when Moses came down the mountain and said, who's on the Lord's side, after Israel had erected a golden calf and began to say, this is what brought us out of Egypt, to come tomorrow and we'll have a feast unto the Lord. And the Lord said, you're not having a feast unto me through a golden calf. Moses comes down the mountain and says, who's on the Lord's side? You can read this in Exodus 32. And a portion, only a portion of the Levites came out from all the people of Israel. All 12 tribes, only a portion of the Levites came out. And so you need to think about this. For a long time, I said that I backtracked it one day, and that's where I came to, and I thought that was right. But then the Lord showed me, not just a couple of weeks ago, that really wasn't why he began, or where he began to call the Levites his own, or why that he actually gave the covenant, watch this, to be the covenant of life and peace, to be with Levi. And I want to tell you something today, folks. Christians, the born-again bride of Christ, those who believed into the death of Jesus, those who have their faith in the cross of Christ, they are the new covenant priesthood of believers that the Levites typified. Now, we're no longer involved in an Aaronic Levitical priesthood. We're involved in the Melchizedekian priesthood, of which Jesus is the great high priest. And there's much to be said about that. But let's read a little bit more here, just a couple verses. And let's start here in verse 6 again. The law of truth was in his mouth, that's Levi, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. This is what Levi did. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. Here he even calls this covenant that he says is of life and peace with Levi. Here he calls it the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. He says in verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. And that means you've shown partiality within the perimeters of the law. Now, I hope that you go back and read a little bit more about this. And before we move on, because we're not doing but about 20 minutes in these little excerpts, let's go back and touch upon one or two things here. And let's three things before we move on. That is what's written in verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. And that really means might continue with Levi. He says in verse 5, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him because the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. And then verse 8, skip down a little bit. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, today in the new covenant, we are a priesthood of believers, kings and priests in the new covenant. And if we are not preaching and determined to know nothing other than Christ and Him crucified, we are causing many to stumble. Many to stumble. If we don't focus on the covenant, not just the benefits, because we can real easily, and I speak from experience, we can begin to expect the benefits of the covenant when our hearts are not delivered moment by moment to the covenant, which is the death of Jesus. That's what God is working in us, 2 Corinthians 4:11-12. And unless that's our initial experience moment by moment, then there's no outflow of this new covenant of life and peace that we are the priesthood of and should be ministering this. So think about that. We don't want to corrupt the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ as Israel corrupted the covenant of Levi. So let's go back here now while we have a few minutes left. And I'll do 10 more minutes and not a minute more. But let's go back to, let me see where I was. Let's go to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers. And I believe it's Numbers chapter 25. Let's go there and look at something. Let's look at this. Let's just read this chapter. We need to just read this chapter to get the whole picture. It's not very long. Let's look at it together today. Because we're going to see in this chapter where God chose Levi. And what we read over in Malachi about why he chose him, because he feared his name and did save many from iniquity. Watch what Numbers 25 shows us about what God saw to make a choice in Levi, of Levi. Watch this, Numbers 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. They begin to do that which God told them not to do. The men of Israel begin to go out and take women of Moab, and God called that whoredom. That's what he called it. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods, and that's why God told them not to do it, because he knew that's what they would do. And that's what we'll do in a moment when we begin to listen to that which is not pointing us to the sacrifice of Christ. You can count on it. If you don't believe it, well, you're just like them. They didn't believe they would either, but they got sucked right into it through their lust for the women, and it never fails. When you look away from Calvary, you're looking away from that which brings you the power, the life, and the peace that can keep you from all that. Watch now verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses. Get this. Let's read that again. This is like those that are just blatantly today saying, you ain't got to always be talking about the cross. You hadn't got to always, all this people that are determined to know nothing else, man, we need to know a lot more than the cross. And all that we think we need to know, other than what exclusively comes through the deliberate and conscious faith in the cross, is going to get us in trouble. Watch this. And behold, verse 6, Numbers 25, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brothers a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, here it comes, are you ready for this? And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stopped from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 men went a-whoring after women in another nation that served other gods that they'd already been told not to do. 24,000 people, men in Israel. Now get this. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned, this one man, I want you to notice today what one man, the man Lord Jesus Christ, did for billions, the opportunity, the potential for billions to be turned away from iniquity by the hand of the Lord. Oh, watch this now as we see our beautiful Savior in this, as Phinehas portrayed our Lord, who had the greatest zeal for the house of God and the people of God that's ever existed. Watch this. Let's read verse 11. Phinehas, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. He stepped in, just like you preachers of the cross have stepped in, just like you saints of God that have come back to the sacrifice. You've heard the call of God. Who's on the Lord's side? You've heard the call of God. Come back to that which gives life and peace, and be delivered from sin. Be delivered from all the mixtures of religion and all the things that try to be mixed with the gospel that cannot be. Hallelujah. Watch this. That I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Verse 12, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Get this now. This is where it happened. God said, look what a difference one man can make. Think about that one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one avenue by which God can save everybody. But it's only that one avenue, Jesus Christ. But back in the story of Israel, and this is good for our situation today, what one man trusting in Christ Jesus can bring about a move of God that can be such a powerful move of God, if his zeal is right, if he will continue to allow God to move him closer and closer inside that revelation, that nearness that the blood brought him initially to God. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Get this now, these folks living under the law, and when he stepped in and thrust that man who's just going to bring this Midianitish woman right into the midst of Israel, just boasting that, you know, I ain't got to be, I don't have to do this, what God is saying. I'm going to do this in spite of what God is saying. Just boldness to go around, boldness to go against the Lord. And this one man thrust this javelin through that man and through that woman. And God says that this man, Phinehas, this Levite, shall have the covenant of peace, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. That word atonement means propitiation. We see that pointing us to the cross, to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Think about that. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites, one of the tribesmen. Think about this. Think about this. This one man stopped the plague that God had brought into Israel. There is a plague upon the church today, my friend. It's the plague of unbelief. It's the plague of being moved away from that which is true faith, the faith of the Son of God that loved us and gave himself for it. And if you and I are going to participate in this covenant that was with Levi and now belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have the zeal, the zeal of the Lord in our hearts. And that can only be proper if it's through our faith in the righteousness of Christ, the work He perfected and completed at Calvary. And we take a stand for that truth, and we stand not only for it, but against it. So you're talking about a story here of what God saw a man standing against what was false and for what was right, and God moved on that. So I want to encourage you today, stay determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified, and stay determined to never stop pointing out that which is wrong, that which is leaven trying to come in into the unleavened bread that we've been made in Christ. Never stop, because many will try to stop our mouths, but they won't be able to do it, because the zeal of the Lord is in our hearts. Hallelujah. We're in a new covenant, and we are kings and priests in this new covenant priesthood. I hope you've been blessed today. I do love you, and I hope that you would go look at this even some more, because I've got more to share with you in the later session. So if the Lord stirs your heart, please pray for us in this great march toward the finish line, as I pray that God's touch be upon you this very moment right now, body, soul, and spirit, finding the prosperity of the new covenant blessings in Christ Jesus. If the Lord stirs your heart to give an offering to Him through this ministry, you can do that at thecrosswaychurch.com, or you can simply text the word GIVE to the number 903-231-5950. God bless you. I love you, and I'll see you next time. Until then, stay determined to know absolutely nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We'll see you then.